Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Carly with Daytime After Dark. Oh, my gosh. You guys are in for the biggest treat of the week because Daytime After Dark in quarantine, the home order, had the one and only Sarah Zoe Brown, and she played the first Carly Crystals, and then she played Claudia Zakara. You know, we need to talk to her about that. And Days of Her Life, and she's in this awesome, awesome new show on Amazon Prime called Studio City. And she is kicking ass, excuse the bad word, on the show. So please welcome, for the first time, the lovely, one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood. Here's her.
Hi there. How are you, Carly? It's great to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh. No, you don't understand. This is like a dream of mine because I interviewed Laura a couple of years back, and then I've been wanting to interview you. So all I have to do is get Tamara Braun on, and I can honestly say that I interviewed the three colleagues because the first one will didn't really pan out, in my opinion. But you, from the very moment you were on General Hospital, I fell in love with your character. I was sad when you left. You broke my heart. I was very upset with you. Like, how can she go? How can she leave? You know, she's got Daytime Emmys, people. Why is she abandoning the set? But I...
Is that when I left as Carly or when I left as Claudia?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I loved the fact that they brought you back as a different character with Claudia. And there were dates I wanted to go on the... get my hands on you, the TV screen, because I'm like... No offense, but I'm like, oh gosh, she didn't just do that, did she? Oh my God,
were you gonna
realize Sunny's gonna kill her? And so with that, I mean, you were like the most, you know, you are the number one, you know, you were the original Carly. And I know a lot of people were freaking out when you came as Claudia. They were like, oh no, is Laura White leaving? Oh my God, are they going to do like a twin thing or whatever? And I'm like, you guys, calm down. Let's see where this leads us. And I thought it was very good with Claudia and Carly, the first thing you guys had. And you guys, like, why do I know you? And, you know, you guys were both saying that, and it was like one of those iconic moments of it, and I was just watching on YouTube again, so I just thought you and Laura looked great together. I mean, even though you were kind of mean to Carly when you guys were waiting for Michael to wake up, and you were kind of involved in that, but... Yeah, but, I mean, you kind of went crazy yourself. Claudia did go crazy, and we will get into everything General Hospital, I promise you guys. But you guys should go check out this new show on Amazon Prime. If you have a Prime account, it's free, and it's called Studio City, and it's with Sean Kanan, Patricia Double, so many people in this cast. And when I saw you at first, I did not recognize you. Like, I kept staring at you. And I'm like, okay, I know who. I know who. And it took me the first episode where I saw you in the credits. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And this show you're in with Studio City, and I'm on episode 4 or 5. You are doing such a great job on this, and this is a different character than you've ever played before, Sarah. I mean, totally different, and I love it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Thank you so much. It is really different. I'm just sort of feeling my way with her as we go. Sean has been really, really supportive and helpful in informing who the character is, along with his wife, Michelle Kanan. And yeah, we're building her together. And I'm enjoying it. It's been a really, really good, fun ride so far. And I look forward to hopefully doing a lot more seasons, because there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered.
It's like what I really appreciate. Like, you know, sometimes people cannot, watch like a whole series, even though it's 15 minutes long. With Aito Son, when he was on the show last week, hi, Son, that you guys should make it an hour, because by the time 5 minutes is into the show, I'm, like, getting really hooked. And then you guys end it. And then what I like is you kind of do a flashback of what happened in the last episode and what Aito Son. I thought that was a genius way of doing it, because if people didn't watch it like for 2 weeks and forgot what was going on, they could just watch it and remember. And I am so happy that you're on the show, because I think you guys really have a season 2, a season 3, a season 4. I just on. This is the breakout show of the year. You know,
oh,
it might be
you.
A web series, but to me,
that's
it's
really
like
thank you.
A breakout.
Yeah, we have a lot more to explore, so hopefully we will be able to move forward with the season 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to need a few seasons because the content is really short, each episode being around 10 minutes. Is challenging in the sense that there's so much story to tell, just like any kind of daytime or nighttime serial drama.
Yes,
but
exactly. It is.
We really need a lot more time to get into all the specifics of the different characters and their relationships. But with COVID going on, it's been challenging for us to not only...
Yes.
We're not even able at this point, just as of yesterday, the virtual Emmys that we were all going to get together and do as a cast, and all the other casts from the digital drama series that were nominated, were supposed to get together at a pub or at a club and all be together and have it, you know, live streamed, and they canceled that as of yesterday. So it's been really challenging with COVID. Yeah, that's been canceled. So the awards themselves aren't canceled, but what has been canceled is people are no longer going to be gathering together in order to facilitate each digital drama cast being in one specific location. So that was canceled yesterday. And, you know, it's really unfortunate. It's really tough for everyone in every walk of life right now and in every job. And it's hitting the entertainment industry particularly hard. So we're just not able to confirm right now at what point we'll be able to go back to work. And it's frustrating and it's challenging, but hopefully, you know, creative people are creative, and so therefore by nature we should be able to come up with different ways to get around COVID and to continue to provide content to people that really want to see it.
Yeah, because we, you know, right now, I mean, I don't know if you watch the soaps anymore, even though you are like the biggest daytime player.
I never really watched soaps. It's not really a genre that I watch. It's just really a genre that
you made the genre, you know, so lovely. But right now we are in repeats. So Days of a Life. No, Days of a Life is the only new one. Bold and Beautiful, Young and the Restless, Central Hospital. We haven't seen a new episode of that since May 18th for General and like April 20th for Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful. So the fans, it's really hard. This new navigates and like, okay, and then they were going to go back to work. And everyone got excited. And then they find out it's been delayed a week or two. And everyone's like, come on, hurry. But I think it's about safety right now. I mean, with this COVID thing, and we're only 4 months into it. So, you know, you don't know how bad it really is. And
it's a lifetime. It feels like a lifetime already.
Thank you.
It feels like we've been trapped in this forever.
Like, I told my best friend, I go, you realize I have no control over my life right now? And she goes, yeah, none of us do. And, like, the only saving grace of being the stay-at-home order and being, you know, with everything is I'm getting the best interviews I've gotten in, like, the last year. No one can say to me, okay, we are busy. We have to go back to work. This is the perfect time for me because I can strike I can strike and I usually get everyone. So, I mean, for me, it's been great getting all the interviews, except it hasn't been so great being home all the time, you know, and not going to the mall and everything. And I know you have a daughter. How old is she? And do you have to do the home online stuff? And so, how was that? Because everyone I've interviewed who are parents wanted to throw the packet out the window. It was like, you know, you got, I mean,
my daughter is 22 years old right now, and she will be 22 very soon, actually, very, very, very soon. And my daughter she's about to go into her senior year of college. However, they are working online right now currently, and it's been incredibly challenging for her. She's not happy about it, I'll tell you that much. She's very, as are all of her friends, discouraged by the fact that the schools have decided not to reopen for the fall in-person classes, and she's feeling just really sad that for her senior year, she's going to have to take her classes online, and she's having sort of some second thoughts about, sorry, can you hear me a little bit better now? She's having some second thoughts about her senior year and whether she might want to postpone it until after the virus has vaccine available.
I don't blame her. And
my daughter.
Yeah, I do not blame it. I do not blame her because, yeah, it's crazy. And you cannot have a 22-year-old daughter say, no, no, there's no way. You do not.
Yes,
live.
I do.
Okay,
I'm
I know you do,
her.
But you do
She's
not.
Incredible.
You do not look a day. I mean, you haven't aged one bit since the first
really
day you were on
dinner.
So when you tell me you have a 22-year-old daughter, I'm like, no, that can't be.
Nope, I do.
Mean,
I absolutely do. Do you want to take some questions from Twitter? There are a few questions that are popping up over there.
But I just want to let people know that City, you guys got a, lost it. And Sarah Smiles, one of my great friends, she asked, what's your favorite thing about social media and your least favorite?
Favorite thing about social media is interacting with fans
and people in general that I've never had an opportunity to meet prior to, or may not have ever had an opportunity to meet or connect with prior to the existence of social media. So through social media, I have been able to meet people from all walks of life with very diversified backgrounds, different from my own, that I find incredibly interesting. And we've been able to connect because it doesn't matter where they are in the world or where I am in the world. We can follow each other and stay up to date and get to know each other a little bit that way, peripherally. And then at some point in the future or on the telephone, we're able to connect. And so it's allowed me to make some friends I don't think I ever would have been able to make otherwise. And that's really, really my favorite thing about it. And also just being connected to the fans in a way that everybody has a voice with social media. If you're a fan and there's something that you dislike, you're able to immediately voice your opinion and be heard on it. You know, it doesn't mean that people necessarily take all of your suggestions and implement them. However, if I'm playing a certain character and somebody on social media asks me and says, hey, you know, I really dislike this particular thing, and maybe it's not something I'd ever thought of about the character or about the storyline, I'm then in a position to take that to the boss that I work with and say, you know, I'm getting some feedback and some concerns about this particular thing or that particular thing. So if it's something involving specifically diversity or something along those lines, I have the ability to take the voice of the fans directly to the boss, which I love. And also the fans have the ability to take their voices to the boss right away. I think it's empowered a lot of people that way. My least thing about social media, my least favorite thing is that I have a lot of trolls. So I had about 15,000 fake followers who somebody actually paid to follow me. And each one of those fake followers, which have now all been removed as Twitter cleared out a lot of their bots and fake followers. Just for comparison, Maurice Bernard at the same time had 1,000 fake followers and bots to my 15,000. So it just sort of goes to show you that being a woman and being online and social media can be really different as an experience for someone like Maurice Bernard or Burton, who's a man. We tend to get a lot more trolling, I think. And I don't know if that's because they perceive us as the weaker sex, but certainly that doesn't work for me. I don't think of myself that way. And so I've received about 15,000 along those lines tweets from bots that have now been removed, but each and every one of them was some little indicator that I was having issues with my privacy. So each and every time someone would follow me on Twitter that was a bot, they would let me know, you know, what I had just said or texted on my phone. And so, again, that's 15,000 times, and that was really awful and annoying and a horrible invasion of my privacy. And in order to make it stop, I have to literally delete all of my social media accounts. And I, as I said, that just doesn't jive with who I am as a person. So that's a great question, and thank you very much to your friend.
Well, yeah, and the same, Sarah, as how is Studio City different from the soaps that you have done?
Studio City is really different in the sense that it's a single camera comedy or dramedy, if you will. There is a lot of comedy in Studio City, which you don't generally see, I think, proportionately quite as much on a show like General Hospital, where they'll devote maybe 5 minutes out of an hour-long show to a comedy storyline that involves a lot of comedy. Whereas on Studio City, it's sort of every other line is a joke or, you know, a hidden joke. There's a lot of fun, a lot of snarkiness, and a lot of sort of hidden double entendres thrown in there. And I think the biggest difference is not only the time that we have to put out an episode, which is only around 10 minutes compared to a daytime, full-length daytime drama, which is about an hour, but also just the format that we're shooting with a single camera and everything is being lit like a film. Whereas in a daytime show, things are lit like a sitcom and you have multiple cameras all running at the same time. So you have to light it in a very different way. All the lights have to be basically above you. And on Studio City, everything is lit for single camera the way that you do on either a single camera comedy or in a film or in a nighttime drama. So I'd say, yeah, it's the lighting. The scripts are much, much shorter. Our content in general is much shorter. And there are some similarities, but I think the biggest similarity between the two things would be the fact that, you know, we have a lot of daytime alumnus on our show.
Well, yeah, and my question has always been, when you were on Bold and Beautiful, was I was sad when you left because I kind of got attached to your character. But what was funny about that was you were working with Rick Hurst, that, you know, you were, you know, worked on with General Hospital. But when you guys were on board, there was this chemistry that I saw it come through the screen. And I'm like, funny, there was no chemistry. I mean, not bad chemistry with you and Rickers on DH. What I'm saying, you know, they should have just made you guys a couple because you guys were so good and so believable. And then when you were on DH, you wanted to kill him. So I just thought it was very interesting.
I think I wanted to kill him on GH too, though. I definitely think there was a love-hate relationship between Rick Hurst's character and Claudia Zakara's character on General Hospital,
mm-hmm.
especially towards the end. You know, we wanted to kill each other. We wanted to jump into bed with each other. It was a very tumultuous relationship. And then remind me, what did Rick play? He didn't play my brother. He played my cousin or my lawyer on Bold and the Beautiful. I don't remember, to be honest, like what
yes.
our character dynamic was.
Yeah.
Yes, he played
I think
Witch,
so, but I just thought that, you know, your time on Bold and Beautiful was so cutthroat, in my opinion, because you were so good on there. And what I always complain about with Bold, they have a lot of cast, but they only have a half an hour show. So really, the people you want to see, you don't see everyone every day. Like you do
right.
on Young and Restless, Dates and Deeds. It's a totally different setup. And, I mean, it's great, but I just thought you and Rickus always were great together. And then
you.
When
That's
you
really
were,
popular.
What I love about you, actually, well, everything, but when you were in the movie, The Perfect Husband, the Lacey Pearson story, oh, my God, Sarah, you did such a great job on that. It was, like, so, you know, it was a great movie, and everyone knows the whole story of real life, but you were able to be really good on that. So I think Lifetime should just, you know, make you a deal so you guys can, so you can be on every Lifetime movie because you were
That's
so
incredible.
Good on that.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Can I get into some of the questions I'm getting on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Let me read you some of them. I have a few here. Somebody is asking about who's a co-star that you really loved working with. And I would love to say that one of my favorite co-stars, I would definitely say that I had an amazing time. I had amazing time with so many of my co-stars. But a couple that stick out in general, John Engel would be one that I would never want to forget because John Engel played Edward Quatermain, as people will remember, back in the day. And John was one of the kindest human beings I have ever met in my life. He had five daughters. And from the day I started on General Hospital, he took me under his wing and he was like a father figure and a teacher for me. I absolutely adored him. Anthony Geary was another person that I just loved working with him because he was such a professional, first of all. I admired his work so very much, and I always felt like he upped
my game. Whenever I was working with him, he kept me on my toes at all times. I never had the opportunity to slide into old tricks or anything like that as an actor, because it wasn't going to go over well with Tony, and he just really knew that straight out of the gate. I loved working with Rick Hurst as well, because Rick is a very giving human being and also just a very giving actor. And he's very fun. He makes everything a lot of fun. He has an incredible sense of humor. Maurice and I obviously got along like gangbusters on the show. We, you know, I think we're married several times as two different characters. And again, you know, Maurice is quite a bit older than I am. And when I started, I was just in my very, very early 20s, and he had been doing daytime already for quite a long time, and he also took me under his wing and made things as easy as possible for me. And all at the same time, he constantly challenged me. And I felt like I had to bring my A game, or Maurice would be disappointed in me. And we just had great chemistry. I loved every minute of working with Maurice. And Steve Burton and I think had, you know, incredible chemistry and fun anyway. Like, we had a great
type of
chemistry between the two of us. Let me see what else we have. What is something that brings you a lot of joy? Somebody wants to know.
Yeah, I was just going to, yeah.
Let's see. Well, there is my daughter, first of all, brings me more joy than I could ever possibly communicate. She is my best friend in the world. Of course, I have other grown-up girlfriends, and we didn't become best friends until she was really an adult. We always had an incredible relationship with each other, but I wanted to be the parent and have my daughter have her childhood and be a kid. But now that she's an adult, we are best friends, and we tell each other everything, and we talk all the time, and she includes me in everything and brings me into everything. Also, I really, really, really love digital editing. It's something that I do that I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I've wanted to be a director since I was 8 years old, so that brings me an incredible amount of joy. There's also a man in my life that brings me more joy than I could possibly tell you. And, I like to build things. That's something that brings me a lot of joy, whether it's working on construction projects or, building, like currently I'm helping a friend of mine working on a music video and helping him build the edit for the video.
Awesome.
So I like to do things. Yeah, it's really fun. It's someone you know, but I won't get into it right now. Things that bring me joy, funny enough, are the simpler things in life. Green grass, you know, a rainbow, a beautiful hike with someone I love, sunshine, and the health of my friends and family always really lift me up. I love being around my family, most of them.
I mean, yeah.
I get a lot of joy from my nieces and nephews.
Those are the things that bring me a lot of joy.
Yes, ma'am. And then, let's see. Also, my cousin, Father Jerry Waterman, brings me so much joy, and he's an incredibly spiritual person. He's a priest, and, you know, I really enjoy following him on social media and checking him out doing his 5-mile runs and then, you know, preaching the gospel in the afternoon. He's really a lot of fun. And I have a group of incredible best friends that I don't know what I would do without, and I'm so grateful too. And they are constantly lifting me up and bringing me joy. My dog, Shadow, is a very joyful thing in my life. And let's see what else we have. We have what brings you joy? Let me see here. I know I have a question from Natalie.
Was your favorite moment playing Carly? Someone wanted to know.
That's right. There was that question. My favorite moment is playing Carly. That is really tough, but I will. Okay, I'm going to go with, and maybe later I'll change it. But I think the breakthrough moment for Carly in a lot of ways, in terms of a storyline, a love storyline, is the moment where Carly and Sunny kissed for the very first time. And yes. I came over to the house and seduced, my character came over and seduced Sonny while he was in the middle of or just getting over a mental breakdown. And everything changed on the show after that for our characters. And we went on this, you know, 5-year journey together that was epic, I think, in a lot of ways, because the characters are still around. And so in a lot of ways, that first kiss, I think, opened the door for the character of Carly to be a character that's yes. on daytime television for decades, because people found her so complex and so interesting. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that Carly and Sonny got involved with each other and that storyline developed the way that it did. Because I think without Sonny, Carly would not have been as interesting. So I think of her as like an extension of Sonny in some ways. So yeah, that would be my answer for that. Let's see. How is, what else? What are some, let's see. What is, yeah. Okay. Saw that one as well.
Someone on Facebook also wanted me to ask, my friend Tiffany asked me to ask you, one thing, do you miss working on General Hospital, if you wanted to know?
I had a really, really great time when I was a kid playing on General Hospital for the first 5 years that I did Carly. And I have days all the time that I miss, you know, what that time in my life was. And yet at the same time, when I left the character of Carly, I did so because I felt like I was done. I had done 5 years of the same mm-hmm. character. And although people do characters for really, really super long periods of time, sometimes as many as 10 and 12 years, if the series goes on and on, I didn't feel like there was a whole lot left for me to do with that character that I hadn't already done, because we did so much. We had such a heavy storyline. So in the sense, I miss the people involved, and I, rather than saying I miss it, I would say that I look back on it fondly. I had a truly incredible experience. Everyone at General Hospital were people that I really grew up with, and it has impacted mm-hmm. and colored every aspect of my life from that point forward. But to be honest, you know, as an actor, I wanted diversity in roles. I wanted the opportunity to stretch my wings and to do other things. And because the storyline was so heavy, I didn't have the opportunity to do that. So I wouldn't say that I miss it in the sense, in the traditional sense. I would say that I look back on it fondly because I had an incredible time. When I went back to GH playing Claudia, things were really different at the show, and I didn't have the same kind of experience over there that I had had when I was on as Carly. A lot of years had passed. There were different people in charge, different writers mm-hmm. and producers, and everything all the way up to the top was different, and I really didn't have the kind of experience playing Claudia that I was expecting, and it didn't end very well. For me as a person and as an actor, the character became something that was completely the polar opposite to what I had been told that she was going to be. And it all happened rather quickly and in a way that I felt was not handled properly. And I was physically super badly injured on the set. And I had to have neck surgery after my last day on the show, being forced to fall and hit the ground over and over repeatedly with my own head, because the director insisted that that was needed. And I had a stunt double standing right next to me. But, you know, within 2 weeks of leaving the show, I had to have neck surgery, and it was going to be life-changing neck surgery. So, you know, I had to alter what we did, and rather than doing the neck surgery that was suggested for me, which I did not do, I did a modification of that so that I wouldn't have to have a, like, you know, 4-inch scar across the front of my neck. And so it was very traumatic for me, the way that the character ended. I got a massive infection in one of my eyes because the director forced me to lay on a filthy, disgusting, dirty carpet that they pulled out of some storage unit, 5 minutes before we shot it. And I did not feel that I was treated kindly and or fairly or professionally. And so I definitely don't miss those days, whereas I might miss the character or the friends or the time that I had there that were good, the times that were great. I really got along so well with so many people there, and it was a good experience in many ways. But again, the inner workings and interpersonal relationships between people that I didn't see on a regular or daily basis that were way mm-hmm. above my head. And again, I had some issues that I was struggling with at the time that I went to the producers and I tried to discuss with them. And again, it didn't go well. I was fired. I felt in a retaliatory way. And rather than working through the issues that I addressed, things were done in a way that made me feel like I wasn't at all an asset or important to ABC. And so I, took that cue and I left and I wouldn't want to go back into a situation like that.
I agree with everything you're saying, because I feel like the character of Claudia, I really thought it was going to go in another direction, like you were saying. And when it came out that you were involved in the micrositting and you were, that person was you weren't. You were just, you had that miscarriage, so you were kind of, gone in the head. And then when you kidnapped Carly and then you wanted to take Jocelyn away from her, and then the baseball bat happened.
Bat was particularly, it felt very personal, to be honest with you. I felt like and that is because what was going on behind the scenes that nobody really has taken the time to ask me about. So I've never had a chance to properly explain it from my perspective, but it felt really disgusting. And, of course, it's a soap opera, and crazy things happen to characters a lot worse than somebody taking a baseball bat to their head. But, the stories that I haven't told, which are behind-the-scenes stuff about how that all came about and about, the complaints I had made before that was the way that they decided to write me out. It felt to me really very different from my experience playing Carly. And it was upsetting to me because I'd had such a really good experience for all those many, many 5 years. And I felt like I was loyal to ABC in every possible way. And I had, really not done any other shows at that point. And I felt like I was, always treated as an asset to them. And so to come back and be treated as if I was the enemy in some way, there was some intellectual property issues that were going on at that time. And so, it wasn't a good experience for me. As much as I loved Claudia when we discussed her in the beginnings of her creation, we really hammered out who she was going to be and what she was about and where she came from, who her family were. And I adored Bruce Weitz and Stephen Mock and Brandon Barash, who I actually felt like was like a brother to me. He was such a sweet, sweet kid. And Maurice was always so professional and great while we were working together. So I did have a great experience in many ways. But in other ways, it left a bad taste in my mouth, and for that reason, I don't miss the character per se. However, if things were different or there was apologies that were made or explanations that were forthcoming, I think things might be different. But at this point, they're not, so that's my stance on that. I'm not going to be able to stay on the phone much longer, but I did want to see if there were any other questions here on Twitter that we could take.
Let's see, any more, no more Twitter questions, but there are all two Facebook questions, again from my friend Tiffany, who loves you. Do you love Carson? I mean, because you guys, Carson, after 20
do I
years.
I love Carson? I'm
yes.
sorry, are you asking me if I love Carson?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
they
wanted to know.
I don't watch soap. I'm not sure what that means. I don't watch soap. So
no,
I'm sort of
I think what they
the
meant
dark.
Is, do you love the fact that they put Sunny and Carly together?
Oh, I do.
And you guys
Absolutely.
Build up the, you know, going from hate
I did,
to
I
friends
did.
To
yes.
gay married.
Yes.
I think that's what.
Yes. And I think
they
got married several times. You know, again, I don't remember 100%, but I know there were a couple of different marriages. You know, Carly Benson Spencer Quartermaid Corinthos was
yes.
a joy of my life to play. I had so much fun with her. We just went on every journey together possible, and none of that would have been possible without the character of Sunny Corinthos coming
mm-hmm.
into the life of Carly Roberts Benson, who later became Quartermain Spencer. But so I loved the creation of the character, and I loved the way that it's her peculiarities fit so nicely with Maurice Bernard's character of Sunny Corinthos. I loved those two, absolutely. I had so much fun with them. I'm so proud of that time in my life. And
mm-hmm.
To this day, when people say things to me like, I love Sunny and Carly, it makes me so happy. It makes me feel like we did something that's sticking around, you know, and people still really enjoy it. And they still watch old episodes of Maurice and I and get a kick out of it and love it. And I could still watch it and I laugh. I think the Carly Babes episode is one of my favorites because Sunny was literally, you could see in his eyes that he had a thing for this girl and he's clapping and cheering her on, whereas everyone else is just so disappointed with her and doesn't want to have anything to do with her. But Maurice was, his character Sunny was just right in Carly's corner all the time, and he was forgiving of her so many flaws that she had. And yeah, I loved them together. I also really loved Carly and Jason as a best
exactly.
friend couple with sexual tension. You know, I thought that that was a great idea and a great thing to play, and we had a lot of fun with it. We really, really did. I mean, there were some things that we did on daytime. You know, I remember dousing Billy Warlock with vodka and then, like, leaving him in a laundry cart. And I don't know if I lit him on fire or, like, I think I lit him on fire and left him to die in a laundry cart. It was just, like, the most horrific things ever. And at that time, I just thought, well, how are we doing this on daytime television? But it was a little bit campy. You know, again, it wasn't. That part of it wasn't super melodrama. It was a little bit kind of campy and so fun in that way because there was just always something new that Carly was getting into that was outrageous. And I couldn't have done that without Maurice.
Whenever you were getting into something, I'm like the Carly Quintos character. People always say, you know what, you go and get what you want. And you don't care how you do it. You don't apologize for it. And
yeah.
if you do something wrong, you just pray that, you know, luckily I have a Jason in my life because if I didn't, yeah, it would be bad. And, I mean, I come up with crazy ideas like how Carly would do it. And my friend Tiffany also wanted to know, how was the episode of the three Carlys where, you know, you got to hang out with Laura and Tamara
yes,
and Mo?
That was really a good time. We had so much fun. And the thing about that particular episode that was really funny to me is I was so looking forward to seeing it. And when it aired here in Los Angeles, it was preempted by Barack Obama. April Fool's Day. So, you know, I was just about ready to start watching it, and here comes Barack saying, you know, April
oh,
Fool's, we're gonna the regularly scheduled program is canceled, and we're going to break into a speech right now. So that made me laugh a lot, but also I had a great time seeing Maurice again and working with him again, and the dynamic, it felt like we just slipped into an old pair of shoes that we both really loved, and yet
I hadn't really seen a lot of Tamara Braun's work as Carly, so I got to see what she did with Maurice and how their dynamic was, and they were amazing together. And then I got to see Laura with Maurice, which I had seen lots of during the time that I played Claudia, but it was really fun, and I thought so creative, and they pulled it off really beautifully. I wasn't sure what to expect, and again, I hadn't been able to see it. I didn't think to look for it on YouTube, but eventually someone said, you know, it is on YouTube, and also they re-aired it, so I had the opportunity to tune in and watch it, and I really appreciated what they did. I thought it was incredibly creative and very well done, and poor Maurice, I don't know how he dealt with that day. It must have been so very confusing for him, but he did it like the pro that he is and pulled it off, every bit of it. But anyway, Carly,
I mean, yeah,
I'm going to jump off the phone here, but I wanted to just say thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, yeah. Milk K. Williams said, I have a question for Sarah. Inquiring mind want to know, what is Sarah's diet and fitness routine? And will it make me do in reverse as well? Like, I guess what they are trying to say is, with your diet and exercise, if they did that, would it stop the aging process? I guess.
Okay, so
that's what I meant.
The issue with my diet, and this is not something that I, you know, I'm not a dietitian, so I want to make that very clear. I'm also not a doctor. What I do have is a disease, which is called celiac disease. And there has not been a ton of attention or awareness brought around towards that disease. It's a it was considered for a very long time a rare disease, but now the CDC says that it is 1 in 133 people of all races that have celiac disease, and then it's particularly common among people of Caucasian, specifically Irish descent, English descent. So in those gene pools, it's 1 in 97 people that have the actual disease, and it's a very, very common gene. 40% of the world have it. So I have to eat gluten-free, which means I can't have any barley or any wheat or any rye in my diet whatsoever.
Oh my God!
And I've been gluten-free since 2006. When one of my very best friends, Jessica Dunphy, who was on As the World Turns, and I had a conversation wherein I told her some of the health problems I was experiencing, horrifying health problems, and really thought I was going to die. And I was 29 years old, you know. And she told me about this incredibly, at the time, she thought rare disease caused by bread that she had and a bunch of people in her family had. And to be honest with you, I just laughed at her. And 3 months later, when I was diagnosed with something incredibly rare that only 125 people in Los Angeles have, I thought to myself, well, geez, that bread disease sounded a lot better. Let me look into that. And in fact, she was right. After I giggled at her and laughed at her and ridiculed her for telling me that I had a bread disease or that I had any disease at all rather than just an allergy, I came to find out that this beautiful 21-year-old girl and out of the mouth of babes, you know, was right. And I was diagnosed with celiac disease in 2006, and I changed my diet overnight. I literally have not eaten gluten since 2006 at any point ever intentionally. So there are celiacs who have cheat days. I'm not one of them. I react incredibly badly to gluten. My entire face swells up, and it is not pretty. So I want to first say that, you know, actors use lighting and makeup, and that is, I think, you know, something that we have been trained to do all of our lives. And
exactly.
You know, so I don't want people to take and look at me and think, like, she doesn't age. Of course I age. You know, I think that I've been genetically, my mom is a really, really pretty woman. And, you know, my dad has really good genes, and I'm grateful for that. But also I'm aging just like everyone. And I use makeup, and I put on pretty lighting when I take pictures and when I do videos. And And everyone can do that same thing and also make themselves look as good as they possibly can. And we all want to, you know, look as good as we possibly can. But I definitely am aging. I'm not aging backwards. And I do think that my diet has helped, but I also think I've been a gymnast my entire life and an athlete. And so my body is naturally, I have a high metabolism. I'm a tiny person naturally, so weight has never been an issue for me. If anything, it's an issue for me to make sure that I keep enough weight on, that my face, you know, doesn't look thin, and that my body doesn't look so thin that people are making fun of me, which they do. But I can't help it. You know, I want to say that my diet is gluten-free, and I think that that does help in terms of keeping my weight to, you know, just barely hanging on there. I'm like 115, 110 pounds wet, and I'm 5'5", but I can't really fix that. I can't, you know, it's just the way that my body is, and it's the way
exactly.
that it is when you eat gluten-free. I don't, you know, and I eat candy and junk food. I want people to know that I eat pizza, and I love it, and I cook like a crazy person, and that's part of it, too, is I make my own food most of the time. Because of the celiac, I can't eat at a lot of restaurants. I don't do well, usually, if I do, because of a lot of cross-contamination.
I
want to stress for women that are my age not to look at me or any other celebrity and think that we're not aging, because every single one of us is.
Exactly,
we're not aging
exactly.
backwards. What we're doing is we are using good lighting, and we are using professional photographers, and we are using makeup, and we are taking good care of ourselves. I think in some instances, you know, people that are celebrities, if you have a restrictive diet, that also could be, sometimes it's helpful. It makes you, you know, not eat this kind of junk food. And so I'm not getting a lot of processed food. I'm very, very careful about my diet. So that's the main thing I do. Also, I use a regimen of beauty products. I normally have a team of professionals that help me with my eyebrows, cutting my hair, giving me the latest hair coloring and styling. And all of that helps and contributes to the image that people think that you're not aging, but I am. I want to make that very clear. Just like everyone else,
exactly.
I am aging.
And
I also
I know.
Want to point out that I'm not, I also want to say that I'm not, you know, going out of my way, like I don't have any Botox in my face or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't do some, you know, as we go forward
exactly.
in the aging
exactly.
process. If I decide that I need a little around the eyes, then I may partake in that, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I definitely don't like the idea of actresses who can't move their face. I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and
but
I
also think that when you've been in television for a long period of time, that you are given access to things that, you know, like incredible facialists and things that other people don't necessarily have a whole team of people helping them to look good, and I do. Usually. I don't right now. With COVID, I don't have any help whatsoever. I'm doing my own hair. I'm coloring and cutting my own hair. I haven't had my eyebrows done in 4 months. I haven't had a manicure in 4 months. So I'm a mess, and I'm giving myself facials. And also one big thing is I try to stay out of the sun 100% all the time. And if I do go in the sun, because I tan super, super, super easily, and that also isn't good for your face. And I always use sunscreen on my face. So I recommend those things.
That is
but also,
always,
sorry, jump off
always.
The it was amazing. I really appreciate talking with you. And
yeah,
I wish you all of the best. And
okay.
I just want to say thank you.
I just looked at my Facebook, and there are two callers. But I would love to do a part two with you, like, in a month or two, because this has been one of the best interviews ever. And I would love you to come back on. And then we will have more time and take the phone calls. I mean, I knew once you and I started talking that we were going to be in trouble. I knew it. I called it.
You have people on the phone waiting? I'm sorry. Did you say you have people waiting on the phone? I'd be happy to talk
to you. Yeah. Yeah. Just in the last 2 minutes. Okay.
I don't want to make the point
about
where you make me feel bad.
503? Are you there?
Hello? Are you there? Okay,
you're on with Sierra and Coley. Are you there? Okay, maybe they don't want to talk. Hello?
Hello? It sounds like they're muted.
Okay, weird. We are going to go to another caller. Oh, block number, you're on the air.
I think maybe there's something wrong with the...
No, maybe they just don't... Maybe they called in just to listen and they are too scared to be on air. It always happens. And there's one more, tomorrow, 661, you're on the air.
Greetings, powerful women of God. How do y'all feel today?
Amazing. Nice to hear from you. How are you? What's your name?
Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm in Orlando right now at the airport, and I've been listening. I want to really piggyback on what you just said 5 minutes ago, and I think it's really important that we keep it real. We keep it real with ourselves. Cosmetic surgery is really important, but when you're at a higher level, like being on a major nationally syndicated program, you want to be able to move your lips. If you can't move your lips, you can't articulate your words right, and the people can't really get into the character that they're portraying.
Okay, do you have a question?
Oh, that's all right. I get what he's saying. No, I really agree with you, and I think that it's very important to be able to move your forehead and to be able to emote in the highest and best way possible so that audiences, when they look at you, they can feel you. And that's what real people do. And so I definitely feel what you're saying.
Well, I'm coming, and I do have a question because I grew up with my mama who put on the soap no matter what. My father was tripping, doing the same stuff she was watching on TV, and the soaps are therapeutic. Now, my question to you, coming from the old school when everything was all, it was a little slower. If you wanted to find out what it was, you had to hear from grandma. How do y'all feel that this social media technology is taking people away from the family talk time at dinner as opposed to what's going on now, that we're not talking to each other, everybody's on their phone, and bringing it to the topic with it being the souls being what they are. A lot of times at dinner, that's when mama would be able to let out her feelings after she'd watched it. It don't happen on TV, and it happened in reality, and the dinner table would come out. But now we don't even have two-parent households. So how do y'all feel
right.
that social media has taken over? Because the soaps, one thing, I don't care who you are, you're going to sit down and watch Days of Lives with your mama when you're out of school for that one day on Martin Luther King's birthday. You have no other choice. So you're going to get involved with what such and such and did with such and such and who's with who,
yeah,
and you're going to be aware. So how do you feel about that?
You know, I have to say that social media has changed things incredibly and not necessarily for the better in a lot of ways. However, with COVID happening right now, for instance, what would we all do if we didn't have social media to be able to reach out to our aunties and our grandmas that we don't live with? You know, because we don't all live in the same city. I have family members that live all over the United States. And it's only because we're all linked in on social media that we still get to see each other in the context of what each other are doing every day. Because honestly, everybody doesn't have time to get on the phone. You know, if we were all sitting down at dinner together, that would be one thing. But because we're not, we're all spread out all over the United States, social media gives us the opportunity to share with each other instantly what we're up to, who we're hanging out with, where we're going, and what we're doing. And I mean that in the sense of keeping the family together. So I'm able to converse with my cousins, who I haven't seen in years, with my dad's cousins, you know, with, yeah. And I think that there are trade-offs in anything with technology. There are goods and there are bads. I think it's unfortunate that as technology moves forward, it becomes a crutch. And I have to agree with you that I look up a lot of times and or leave my phone in the car or at home, and I'll look around me, and everyone I see has their face buried in their phone. And whether it's social media or some other texting back and forth with somebody, what is missing from life in general right now is that urge to personally interact and have interpersonal relationships with strangers, people you don't know, in the sense of just a smile or just eye contact, because nobody's looking each other in the eyes anymore. they're looking down at their phones. And you know, I, I noticed it even more recently with COVID that people seem even more shut off from each other. Like, I'll walk down the street now and try to make eye contact and give a smile to strangers because I was raised that way. I was raised that way. You know, when I was 8 years old, I was dumb as could be. And I used to say hello to every stranger that walked by me because that's how my dad was. But I definitely try to catch people's eye and give them a smile. And I've noticed that it's almost as if they think that the virus is going to jump out of my eyes and bite them. People are looking at their phones and then they're looking at me weird for looking at them and smiling. So I think that the virus is, you know, there is the opportunity or the danger that with this virus making people more nervous about being socially around other people, when in fact we actually just need to physically distance ourselves. We don't need to cut off our social interactions or interpersonal reactions to each other.
I got one more question. I got a
two-part
to that question. And I love the way you answered that, and then I'll move out the way. I know you're running short on time, but this is a really important question to me. With that being said, with the on-demand thing, it takes away from you having to be available at a certain time on one side of it, but on another side of it, you're able to miss whatever you miss. You can sit on a Sunday and watch all the whole week of programming. Do you think that the on-demand is a helpful thing or a hindrance to the whole overall makeup all of the days of our lives and programming like that? How do you feel about that?
I think it's very helpful. I think that's, an excellent question, and it's very on point with what's going on and the way that technology is changing the entertainment business and everything else. But I think that it's very helpful because we need to survive as a genre. In order for daytime, and when I say we, I'm not really, you know, on a daytime network show at the moment, but I think of my peers as we. And the shows need to survive. In order for them to survive, they've got to evolve. The fact that you can now jump in on a Sunday and catch up with all your content allows people to stay connected to a show that they might otherwise let go of because they simply don't have the time in their lives. There are two-person working households now more commonly than any other time in history, as you pointed out. And in order for the mother to actually be out and working and still take care of those things that she loves to do, like get a manicure, watch her soaps, you know, take a bath, there needs to be an evolution of thought in how she can time manage. And one of the ways that the shows have helped that working mother is by making her content available so she doesn't have to make a choice between giving up her story, you know, and being with her family or having time to make dinner for her family or having to run out and get TV dinners for everybody because I got to watch my stories. Now she can very comfortably, you know, she can work, she can do her thing.
Sarah, we do have one more call. I just want you to know that.
And when she,
okay.
And when she crawls into bed at night, whenever it's convenient for her, she can tune into her story. And also, I think what they've made really great is that you can now, and if it's not set up on all shows, I think it should be, you should be able to tune into the storyline that fits your time frame. So if you love Sunny and Carly, you should be able to watch the Sunny and Carly storyline because maybe that's only 10 minutes a day. And if that's all you've got time for, but you're devoted to those characters, you should be able to have that content and watch that content and support that show, maybe do it with ads, you know, mandatory ads at the beginning before the content plays. But, you know, if you've only got 10 minutes, you should still be able to watch your favorite storyline. So that's my take on all that. Thank you so much for your questions because they were really smart, and we appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you, too. My name is Pastor Darjean, CEO. I'm calling reporting live from Orlando, Florida Airport. So I just had to call in. I've been listening online, but I was in a situation where we were going through TSA. I couldn't actually speak, but now I'm settled.
Well, please
be
safe, Pastor. You know, please
thank you
be
so
safe
much.
And take care of yourself. And I hope your family and you continue to stay healthy.
Blessings
to
y'all. Shout out to all the winning
team.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Oh, thank you. Call in anytime. Okay, thank you. My co-host, Bobby, will kill me if he wants to say hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
First of all, hey, Sarah, I think we talked before when you had Alicia Mensu and Crystal Chappelle on another internet soap show years ago. But it's great to just talk to you for a few minutes. And I just wanted to say, I think it was maybe about a month, 2 months ago on a Friday that they did the air the three parties episode, because I did say to you on your Facebook friends page, you should come out of retirement and come back to GH as somebody other than Claudia. And I said at the same time, Cameron said to come back as Kim, because she just recently won her daytime Emmy. But now that they recently reran your episode as Claudia with Brandon as Johnny, it would be great to see maybe if you can return back to Dave, maybe either come back from the dead as Madison or maybe as a different character and see if you guys can hook up together.
Wait, is Brandon on Days of Our Lives? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. He's now
okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we love you on Days, too.
Can I ask you a question, Bobby?
Yes.
Do fans really like it when characters come back from the dead? Because I'm so curious. I remember you writing that on my Facebook fan page and thinking to myself, like, I don't even know how to answer that because I was giggling so hard at the thought of the character coming back from the dead. It's so Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it's sort of very campy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Madison died in a fire. We all saw it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What do fans really think about that? Do you just overlook or what do fans really think?
I don't know. That's kind of just weird because you look at Brandon, he was on the phone for 2 minutes, and have you been still on Days as Madison? Maybe you could have just given Gabby a run for her money instead of her giving Stefan a run for his money or Jake a run for money and the new girl, Gwen, a run for her money.
But again, you didn't answer my question. What do fans think when characters come back from the dead? Are you fine with it? Do you think that's fine as long as you get your favorite actors back?
Exactly.
You just overlook it?
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I
agree
with you.
Okay,
got
it. I love you guys. I really love daytime fans. The fact that you can put that all aside and just say,
mm-hmm.
you know what, I don't care if she jumps out of a hot air balloon and lands on, you know, a football field like the Queen of England. I want my character back.
Yeah. I didn't pay him that much attention to you when you was on VR Troopers or when you was Carly on General Hospital, but I think I paid a little bit of attention to you when you was on As the World Turns and a little bit on Bowling Beautiful because it came at the same time that Dying Light was ending and it was 1 year before As the World Turns was ending. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, do I stick with folks on CBS or do I go straight to game shows and talk shows on CBS? I just say, stick with folks. There's other folks out there. But I'm glad you took my question. And you tell your daughter I said hello. And we'll keep in touch on Facebook.
Sure.
Maybe I can, talk about you coming back today.
Exactly. And Bobby and I want to know if you will come back on the show because we are such big fans of you, both of us, and our two other co-hosts couldn't make it today. They both have plans. But would you please come back, Sarah, because we are in love with you on Daytime After Dark. Every character you've ever played, we've loved. Even Claudia,
Claudia
did bad things,
even
but
Claudia.
We still loved her.
Claudia is the most infamous character ever that I've ever played. Like, she was just so much. But thank you. First of all, I just want to say thank you both for taking the time to talk with me today, for having me on, for your loyalty and your love and your support. It means the world to me, to everybody listening. I just want to say thank you for you know, the many years that I've had of support from all of the fans of Daytime has been the most outrageous thing I could have ever imagined. When I started and embarked on this journey in daytime television, I could never have been prepared for the kind of love and loyalty that daytime fans give their favorite performers.
Wow,
you
tell me.
Their story. So I'm
agree,
and
like I said,
guys,
I love you ever since the days on As World Turns.
Thank you. And I had such a good time, a really fun time playing that character and just in general living in New York at that particular moment. I loved living in the city. So I always think back fondly on my time on As the World Turns. But again, thank you both. I really appreciate it.
And
we'll keep an eye out for you and talk to you in the future.
That.
Have a great day, both of you.
Yeah, and before you go, we just want to make sure you will come back, right? Because we will love to do another interview.
We'll do our best, and I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Stay away from that COVID. Good night or good day. Have a great day.
Okay.
Okay, you have
thank
a great
you.
Day.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carly, for having her on. It made my day to just talk to her. I mean, it would be great to get more callers in if we had more time. And it would be great if Maggie and David had joined us today, but I understand there are other plans, and I understand. But
you know, so did Sarah say she will come back?
I think she said that, yes. So,
yeah, she did, right?
Yes, I'll throw her face.
I'm not going crazy, right? She says she will come back, right?
She says she will come back.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. See, this is why, I have some announcement news that we are taking a Friday night off because, really, if you can hear my voice, Bobby, and,
yes,
we have so many interviews. We have so many interviews coming up that I just want to take the weekend off.
September. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hopefully once the governor reopens up the state for me to let me get a haircut and go back to work, I probably might limit my time, especially on Fridays, once they get the sports for the high school teams to start up. But other than that, I'm still free for Fridays and some afternoons now. Now, if it weren't if I had to work today, I would have been unable to do this interview today with Sarah, ask her my question, but it's great.
Well,
so I'm just basically going to try to catch up on Lifetime movies, maybe finish up on a couple of Christmas Hallmark Channel movies I recorded way back in December and other stuff.
Well,
so.
What was I gonna? So I want to ask everyone, the stay-at-home order looks like it's never gonna ease up, and
about the state of North Carolina. They're shutting down a bowling alley right now. Mm-hmm. That's going to say he shut down bowling alleys. So I don't know why we're open in the first place, but.
Exactly. I just want to thank Sarah Brown again. Sarah Zoe Brown, and I pray she comes back. But she said she will come back, right?
Yes, that's what she said.
Okay. See, this is why I have you on the show today, because I'm grateful, Bobby, that you... No,
right.
Listen, before you interrupt, remember we are not going to interrupt each other, but
right.
I'm grateful for you, Bobby, today for hanging on until the last moment to talk to Sarah. There was so many tricky questions and everything that You know, I couldn't do it without you today. So, thank you. You did awesome.
Yeah. I'm wondering, where was you the night that you had Laura Wright on? Because I don't know how late I would have stayed up talking to her if it was just you and her talking at the time.
Well, yeah, and
that's the only Carly that I knew other than Cameron that I knew to talk to.
Exactly.
But like I said a month ago, it was great. I think I asked you to, about a month ago, right after Cameron's episode, right after Sarah came back to GH with Cameron and Laura and all three being Carly at once, to actually have her come on the show. Because I even mentioned this about 2 years ago after she took time off of her acting.
I'm glad, you know, I mean, I waited over 10 years to get, so, so what are you doing this weekend, Bobby?
Well, like I I'm probably going to be basically just trying to stay safe and like walking. Even though it's going to be hot, I'm going to try to get in a few laps at the park and maybe listen to some podcasts and quick catch up with that and quick catch up with some of the Lifetime movies, because I think there was some. There was a couple of Lifetime movies I'm debating over watching it tomorrow night or watching it on Saturday, depending on how the weather is. If we get thunderstorms by the time I want to walk, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch two Lifetime movies back to back. And if not, I'm going to just watch one after I get done with my workout. I mean, the gym's open, but I just have to use the park so I can just walk on the trail before it gets too hot.
Well, it's hot here too. I mean, I just want to say, that this, interview was probably one of the best we've done, I think.
Absolutely, I'm glad I got a chance to talk to her.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I would never.
You know who I think you should have back on the show, because I missed the opportunity to talk to her? It's Lynn Hardy. I don't know how her schedule is going to be once CH resumes, if she's going to be back as Lucy or what, but it would be great to get her back on the show during this time, and this time take questions from me, David, and Maggie, and who else that might be on the show. Real questions. I know. No questions from black numbers that I'm hearing that might be crank callers, which I was hearing that was going to happen, but I'm glad you didn't take the call.
But it was okay caller, thank God. So what I'm doing this weekend, I'm relaxing. I have so many shows to catch up on. That is crazy. I mean, my TiVo is filled up to the brim. And before we go, I just want to let everyone know.
Well, I know one thing for sure, Carly. I know one thing for sure. My DVR machine is going to be probably filled with all of next week's days and the new episodes of Ballin' and Beautiful at the same time.
Mhm.
And one of the baseball games that might be on, with the fact that baseball season is coming back, because I set the DVR for next Friday night after the show to record the Astros game with that the Mariners guy in Houston. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with no fans there, because I was watching while I was on hold a little bit of some of the batting practices.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, through the whole stay-at-home order, and you know, it's been a crazy time in our country, and so yeah, so what are you doing for the rest of the day?
I'm probably going to just enjoy some, finish up my sub I got from Subway at earlier today, because I was walking and I was at, and I had a lunch outside in the park while I was walking. So I'm going to finish up my sub that I had for lunch from Subway.
Well, yeah. And I
hope, and hopefully my girlfriend has sent me a Visa gift card so I can just upgrade my Prime membership up a little bit, so I can just play catch up on Peter's and see how. And see that.
Oh my God, I hope, oh my gosh. Okay, you know who is on the TV right now? And I'm hoping he is not the guy we don't like in the White House. And you better pray, Bobby, that they did not interrupt Dave of the ACO. You will be getting a nice
unfortunately, it looks like if it's a news story, it looks like it's going to be. But I think the GH episode was from a couple months ago.
And,
unless you still have that on the DVR, or you can always go over to David's place and watch it, since he's a couple months behind anyways.
So I just want to thank everyone.
I'm just joking. I was just joking about you going over to David's and watching it. It was a joke. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay, I just didn't know if we have
I'm here.
Okay. But I was just joking about you going over to David's and hanging out with him and catching up on GA since the last couple of months. Going to go a couple months behind anyway, so the current episodes that are rebroadcasting until new ones come out. So I know Bowling Green is going to start some new episodes on Monday, and I'm going to be packed with Dave's and Bowling Green episodes until at least.
Exactly. And I just want to say before we get off the air, Zenner Hospital had to delay production for a week. There's been two COVID cases with one of the two leading ladies. They are not naming names. And, you know, everyone.
Right, right. But didn't Nell and Val already had this bout in the beginning? Because maybe watching the episodes are rerunning right now with Nell in it. She looks like me. I don't see how she got in it, but at the same time, this is explaining why you haven't seen much of Val lately because of it. But, I mean, I'm not talking about the one that's on YNR right now that's digging the bomb. Hello?
Yeah, Bobby, yes, I hear you. But, Bobby, we should go before I lose my voice. And
okay,
we will be back next week, will be off this weekend. And have a great day and take a time to enjoy the view. And please wash your hands and don't listen to Trump.
All right. I'm not even going to bother watching him.
Okay. Thanks, Bobby. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.